You're listening to Worship Life Radio with Pastor Holland Davis of Calvary Chapel San Clemente. On today's edition...
If you want to know what you really worship, look at your checkbook and your calendar. Because where you spend your time and where you spend your money is where your heart is. That's what you worship. Now, here's the thing. The difference between an idol and God is that an idol demands, but God invites. God doesn't demand from you. That's not love. God invites. He extends the invitation. It's up to you to receive it.
What would you say your idols are in your life? Would career, money, people, family, or achievements be on the list? What do all these have in common? Work, stress, time, resources. Now compare that with placing Jesus as your idol. What does he require of you? Nothing but you. He just wants you, your heart, and your devotion. Today in his message, Pastor Holland reminds us of the danger idols can have in our lives. They can reveal what's going on in our hearts, but if Jesus is at the center, there is only peace. Let's join Pastor Holland in the book of Leviticus chapter 26 as he continues his message, Walking in New Life.
Leviticus 26, verse 1, it says, "You shall not make idols for yourselves, neither a carved image nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves, nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord." And so the holy life is an exclusive life. It's a life where I decide I am set apart for God alone. And God doesn't want to share my affection or my time with the gods of this world. God wants me for himself. The Bible says he's a jealous God. But that's the nature of a relationship, isn't it? That's the nature of an intimate relationship. It's exclusive. And I establish boundaries that are appropriate in order to protect the intimacy of a relationship with the person that I love. It's what I want to do. And God sets three boundaries for us, if you will. Three boundaries to protect our intimacy with him. And the first is that you will not make idols for yourself to bow down to it. You will not worship another idol. Now, this is something that's hard for us to grasp, get a hold of. Because we're not a nation of idolaters. Our Pledge of Allegiance declares that we're one nation under God. And so we claim to be a Christian nation. We're a nation that's under the God of the Bible. That's what our Constitution says. That's what our Pledge of Allegiance says. But my mom grew up as an idolater. She was an idol worshiper. I remember growing up in when my dad was in Vietnam, and I would see a statue of a Buddha on the side of her nightstand in her bedroom. And she would pray to the Buddha. And when we went and lived in Japan for a while, we went into my grandmother's house, and there in the little cubbyhole is a little temple with a Buddha in it. And they would have incense that they would burn, and they would have the rice, and they would have the fruit. You know, I remember as a little kid, I would put the fruit and the rice there, and I'd be like, "What's that for?" And then I'd wake up in the morning and it would be gone. Like the fruit would be gone, the rice would be gone. I thought, wow, this Buddha thing is like legit. The Buddha eats the rice, you know? I remember one day waking up and my grandmother is yelling at my grandpa because in the middle of the night, my grandpa was eating the rice and the fruit, you know? And so that was supposed to go to the Buddha. And you're not supposed to do that, apparently. And because Buddha needs it to keep his girlish figure. I often tell people, you know, when I was a little heavier than I am now, I said, well, you know, it's really hard when your national emblem is a large fat man in diapers. And so, you know, that's your hero. You're going to be like your hero. Not like America where it's, you know, George Washington, and, you know, he's a soldier, he's a fighting man, and, you know, he's all buff and all. Not Japanese, we don't do that. But anyhow, I don't know why I went there. But see, we're not a nation of idolaters. So we don't fully understand that. I remember a couple years ago, we had someone who grew up in a Buddhist family, and we had a baptism, and so my wife would do the announcements, and she makes the announcements sound so exciting, and so she advertised a baptism, and this lady and her daughter came forward and got baptized, and she came out to the baptism. My wife goes, "When did you receive Jesus?" She goes, "Oh, I haven't received Jesus. Nobody told me I had to receive Jesus. Why? Well, why are you getting baptized?" She goes, "You made it sound so exciting. I felt like I needed to get baptized." And so my wife led her and her daughter to Christ, and they got baptized. Well, her husband was a Buddhist. And so he would come to church every now and then, and he would listen to the messages. But about a year later, we ended up baptizing him too. And when I asked him, I asked everybody, "Have you made a decision to follow Jesus?" His quote back to me was, he said, "Oh, most definitely." And you see, for him, he knew what that meant. It meant being ostracized from his family. It meant, as far as his family was concerned, he was no longer part of the family, because he had rejected Buddhism and accepted the one true and living God. We don't understand that. We don't live in that kind of culture. In our culture, our idols are more subtle. We have more subtle idols. You know, our idols are cultural idols, celebrities, politicians. People worship politicians. You know, if your idol is Trump right now, you're really nervous because he's got the COVID. And what if your idol comes crashing down? Who's going to save the country now? Same one who always saves it, Jesus. We worship sports figures, rock stars, cult personalities, YouTube sensations, TikTok sensations. Believe it or not, people are addicted to that. But they can also be more subtle. Fame, money, power, success, even the pursuit of happiness, which is a constitutional right. The pursuit of experiences, pleasure. I have a right to that. The ultimate high. You see, idolatry is not worshiping a piece of wood or a statue or stone. That's insanity. That's craziness. To bow down to a rock, to bow down to a piece of metal, that's wild. Idolatry is bowing down to, giving your allegiance to, allowing yourself to be influenced by, giving first place to, or worshiping anything other than God. That's idolatry. When you listen to someone else's word over God's word. When you go to a counselor instead of the scripture. When you put someone else's opinion above God, that is an idol. Listen to how Paul defines idolatry in Colossians 3:5. He says, "Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." And so Paul says this is idolatry. Fornication. Fornication is having sex with someone who is that you're in a relationship with without marriage. You see, in Judaism, there were different relationships that you would have with someone. If you had sex with someone and there was no intent of marriage, there was no marriage there, that was fornication. And the crime there is that you have now robbed a future husband of a wife who is only set apart for him. You've robbed him of that. It's a violation. If you were to have sex with someone without marriage, and against their will, that was rape. If you were to have sex with someone without marriage, in exchange for something, whether it was money or position or power or whatever, that was harlotry. And that was how all relationships were measured. But Paul calls it idolatry, because you have now set your desire above God's desire for you. Because what God desires for you is for you to have a relationship with that one person who is only for you, set apart for you, special to you. And in our culture, where it's common for that not to happen, it would be easy to feel guilt and condemned. But God doesn't condemn. God doesn't want you to feel guilt. He wants you to be free from that. So what's the answer to that? Draw near to Him. Draw near to Him. Bring it to Him. Bring your life to Him. Bring your mistakes to Him. Bring your sins to Him. Bring your trespasses to Him. Your willful breaking of His law. Bring it all to Him, and He'll receive you. And He'll cleanse you. And He'll restore you. Uncleanness is doing things that defile your conscience. Things that you know that will put a stain on your mind, and yet you do them. That's uncleanness. And it could be anything. Passion is living for emotional experiences, for emotional highs, for pleasure. And there's a lot of churches that are built on passion. Come and have this experience, this encounter. And then every week you got to up that experience. You got to have a greater encounter, a greater depth, a greater this, a greater that. And they're always trying to one-up it. And oh, the glory of God filled the room. And yet they're not really pursuing God. They're just wanting an experience.
Worship Life Radio with Holland Davis will continue right after this.
Hi, this is Holland Davis, and I'm the pastor of Calvary Chapel in San Clemente. And I just want to take a moment and invite you to come and visit us at one of our Sunday morning services or to our midweek Bible study. Calvary Chapel San Clemente is a Jesus people community right here in the city of San Clemente, California. You know, we identify with our roots in the Jesus movement because that's where I came to Christ. And of course, that's where Calvary Chapel was born. When you come to our church, you're going to find a church that loves to worship the Lord with song. We love to study God's word verse by verse. And we love to share the love of God with other people. If that's the kind of church you're looking for, consider visiting us. You can find out all about us online at calvarysanclemente.org. We look forward to worshiping with you soon, and may God richly bless you.
Now, let's continue with today's edition of Worship Life Radio.
They're not really wanting to follow the God of the Bible. Evil desires are intense cravings, choices that take you away from God. That word evil in the Bible is not like what we think it is in the Hollywood term. You know, where you have like Freddy the 13th kind of thing. That's not, I mean, that's evil, but I mean, it's not evil because that's what evil is. The word evil simply means anything that doesn't originate from God. God is good. Everything that originates from God is good. Everything that originates from a source other than God is evil. That's what the scriptures teach. That's the biblical definition of evil. And so evil desires are those intense cravings, those intense desires that take us away from God, that supersede our desire for God, that become greater than our desire for God. And I know that there's many that in this day and age, they've allowed their desires, their cravings, their intense cravings. They'll even say, I was born with this craving. I was born this way. It's not my choice. And it takes them outside the boundaries of God. That's idolatry. Covetousness is wanting to possess something that God has given to someone else. This is probably the most culturally accepted form of idolatry. Because I think I'm an American, I'm a capitalist, I'm an opportunist. If you've got something and I can get it from you, then it was never yours, it was always mine. And I watch people do this. I watch people do it in the ministry. I watch people do it in business. I watch people do it in personal relationships where they try to dominate relationships and cut other people out and all kinds of things. We see that form of idolatry working in our culture, and we just call it survival of the fittest. God calls it idolatry. And so an idol is anything that challenges the lordship of Jesus in your life by putting you in a position where you would choose it over Jesus, where you would choose the idol over your relationship with Jesus. It's what fills your thoughts, demands your time, and your money. In fact, it's been said that if you want to know what you really worship, look at your checkbook and your calendar. Because where you spend your time and where you spend your money is where your heart is. That's what you worship. Now, here's the thing. The difference between an idol and God is that an idol demands, but God invites. God doesn't demand from you. That's not love. God invites. He extends the invitation. It's up to you to receive it. An idol demands your time. An idol demands your allegiance. An idol will reward you if you give your time and allegiance to them. But God invites you into a relationship of love that's characterized by blessing and pleasures evermore, according to Psalm 16:11. If you want to know what really is going to satisfy you, if you want to be truly satisfied in this life, you're not going to be satisfied until you're in a relationship with Jesus. Because he is the only one that really knows what will satisfy you. And so whatever you give priority to over God, that is an idol. And we're not to be ruled by idols. We're to be ruled by the Spirit. In Romans 8, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. I don't owe my body anything. I don't owe my desires anything. I'm not trying to discover who I am in all of that. I'm not trying to satisfy, what's inside of me. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, I love this because so many times people will put the emphasis on the wrong word. They put the emphasis on if, the word if. And they'll read it like this, for if you live according to the flesh, you die. But if you live according to the Spirit, you will live. Right? And it's conditional. They think it's conditional. But I believe that the emphasis should be on the word live. Live according to the flesh, you die. Live according to the Spirit, you live. The choice is one of where are you going to live? How are you going to live? And I love this because if I want to put to death the idols in my life, all I need to do is to be led by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit, all the idols will be put to death. It's that easy. It's that simple. Following God is not complicated. It's very simple. Live by the Spirit, you won't satisfy the flesh. Live by the Spirit, the idols will be disempowered in your life because you won't be following them anymore. You'll be led by the Spirit. You'll be going the way of the Spirit. The second boundary that God puts up is to keep the Sabbath. Now, to understand this, we need to go back to the beginning, to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 2. And it says, on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Now, the idea here is not that we are to make Saturday our day of rest. That's not what is necessarily being taught here. The rabbis would disagree with me on that. But when we get into the New Testament, Paul challenges that. He says, hey, don't let anybody criticize you because of Sabbaths or new moons or festivals. You know, every day is unto the Lord. And so how it developed that we began to worship the Lord on Sunday rather than on the Sabbath day, on Saturday, is because in the early days of Christianity, Christianity was not a Gentile sect, it was a Jewish sect. It was primarily Jewish people. And so they worshiped on the Sabbath. The original believers practiced the law. They were Orthodox Jews. They kept the law. And so as Gentiles became believers in Yeshua, believers in Messiah, it caused a problem. Because first of all, they're like, what do these Gentiles have to do with our Messiah? He's our Messiah. He's not your Messiah. He's our Messiah. So they completely missed the point of why they were chosen by God to be lights to the nations. And according to the law, they could not eat, they could not worship with Gentiles. In fact, in Jerusalem, in the temple, there was a point that said if a Gentile went past this point, they were to be killed. It was a capital punishment to go into the temple to worship if you were a Gentile. It was only for Jews. And so the early church had an issue with it. And so Paul began meeting with the Gentile believers on what was called the Lord's Day, on Sunday, which was the day that celebrated the resurrection, the day that Jesus rose from the dead. It was in honor of the Feast of First Fruits, the resurrection. And many Orthodox Jewish believers in Yeshua continued to meet in the synagogue. And so Paul would go to the synagogue. He would teach the Orthodox Jews about Yeshua, Messiah, and then he would go on Sunday and teach the Gentiles. And so that's how we began this tradition. But the principle is still the same. The principle behind the Sabbath is one of rest because the work has been completed by God. God is the one who has completed the work. Paul tells us in Hebrews 4, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. And so he's talking about us entering into this rest that is for the people of God. Well, what rest is he talking about? He's talking about the rest that comes through faith by trusting in God. That I come to a point where I recognize that my whole life is in God's hand and that I am to trust Him. If you're filled with anxiety, if you're filled with depression and fear, you're living in a state of restlessness, you're not trusting God. It's a very simple equation. Friends, we want you to know how special you are to us, but more importantly, we want you to know how special you are to God. God loves you, and He gave everything for you so that you could have eternal life. His Son Jesus died on the cross for your sins so that you could be forgiven and you could know that you're going to spend eternity in heaven. Why don't you pray this simple prayer, mean it with all your heart, and make that decision to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, to say, Jesus, I surrender to you. Forgive me for living my life without you. I don't want to live without you anymore. I want to live for you. Forgive me for breaking your law, and fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me the power to live for you all the days of my life. And if you pray that prayer, you can have the assurance that you're going to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. And I look forward to spending that eternity with you.
You've been listening to Worship Life Radio with Pastor Holland Davis. As we wrap up today's message, we want to give you the opportunity to partner with us in ministry. This radio broadcast is, in a way, a virtual mission field. We're praying that every time a message is shared, someone's heart is drawn to Jesus. We pray for grace to be known and for lives to be changed. Would you join us in lifting up your fellow listeners to the Lord? Ask God to protect them and draw them closer with each moment they listen. There's one more way you can partner with us too. Would you prayerfully consider financially supporting Worship Life Radio? Every amount given, no matter the size, will be used to spread the gospel message, and we're so grateful for it. You can find out more and donate securely online at calvarysanclemente.org. Just click on Give. Thanks for partnering with us here at Worship Life Radio. Do you live in the San Clemente area? If so, we'd love to have you join us for worship at Calvary Chapel San Clemente. We meet every Sunday at 8 and 10 a.m., and we have a Bible study on Thursdays at 6:30 p.m. that you're welcome to be a part of, too. Come for a time of singing praises, learning from the Bible, and being with your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you can't come in person just yet, that's okay. You can still be a part of our church online through our website. Find out more at calvarysanclemente.org. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in, and be sure to join us next time for another edition of Worship Life Radio.
Every one of us is on a journey of grace. God wants you to be free and full of joy. Pastor Holland's message series, A Journey of Grace, will help you discover how to live the abundant life that Jesus promises to give you today. Order your personal copy of A Journey of Grace at worshipliferadio.com.